Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk. Shady Tree with Terry and Robin's actually running a little late tonight, and will be for a few weeks, so I'll be starting the shows solo for a little while, but she will be joining us hopefully at the half hour. So welcome everybody, and let's see, normally this is the time where Robin and I talk to each other because we're not always in the same city when we're doing the show. And we chit-chat and talk about the weather, which has been dreary and miserable up here in upper central PA this whole day. And promises to be for the whole weekend. Yay, at least I don't have to mow. That's pretty much what's going on tonight. As many of you have already read, we have Raven and Stephanie Grimassi with us tonight. And they're going to be hanging out here with us under the shady tree. And I guess without further introduction, let's go ahead and bring them in. And Raven, Stephanie, you there?
We are indeed. How are you?
All right.
See, good evening, everybody.
Good evening. It's that's never a given when you flip a switch here on BTR. You know, things just don't. Thank you for being with us. I look forward to seeing you guys here in just about a month. I think we're all going to be down at FPG, so it'll be good to see you guys again.
Right.
Let's see. Normally at this time of the show, I start off with asking our guests to introduce themselves, and while that's probably not as big a deal for you guys, there may be one or two listeners out there that are new to the community or just haven't stumbled across any one of your 21 books or so. And so those few people, and yeah, I might even learn something. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. Well, I'll start off and then Stephanie can talk about, Stephanie, yeah. Okay. Well, as you said, I'm an author of a little over 21 books. I've been writing for many decades. I actually entered the witchcraft Wicca pagan community many, many years ago, back in the summer of 1969. And I've been involved in the craft ever since. And I grew up in a what I call a peasant witchcraft tradition. Cut my teeth on that. Got involved with Wicca. Got involved with different witchcraft systems. And for a very long time, I think I was known as the Italian guy, you know, because I wrote a book on Italian witchcraft, and everybody sort of plugged me into being just that, when actually I've been involved in many other systems. Today, we Stephanie and I are the directing elders of what we call the Ash, Birch, and Willow tradition, which is a non-cultural, non-specific cultural tradition that embraces and teaches the commonality of all European-based pre-Christian traditions, beliefs, and practices. So I'll turn it over to Stephanie.
So merry meet, and hello, everybody, and thanks for coming to visit us under a shady tree tonight with Terry and Robin later. We're really happy that we have this opportunity. I am really an eclectic type of person from my earlier years. I was really a nature child all my life, and my family, I grew up in a very bohemian family that did not teach any kind of formed or orthodox religions in the home. So I was really left to my own little vices, and I was very drawn to nature. And my mother was involved in astrology and psychics and that type of thing. So I had that exposure as well, and it kind of imprinted, I think, on me a world that was not necessarily the normal way of proceeding. And so from that early childhood experience, I kind of just kept looking for things that connected me to the natural world, and it was, I think, a very easy evolution into finally finding Wicca, which was my first introduction to anything that had a formal name to it. And I studied with a Irish Celtic Wiccan group, a teaching group, which was phenomenal in San Diego. Then from there, I happened to go to a workshop at a witchcraft store down in San Diego. And lo and behold, it was Mr. Raven Grimassi who was teaching it. And I was blown away by the ease that he was able to communicate these concepts and these ideas about nature religion and ley lines that led you to historical references that, you know, were really about the pre-Christian European information that was available and how this all evolved, and that really fascinated me. And so after that, I asked if he would be my teacher, and he was. And now we've been together for about 17 years. And in that time, I've been with Raven while he's written many of his books, and that's been a very unique experience. We also created two oracle decks together, which are now both, they're both very desirable. However, they're both out of print. I still get people writing to us all the time asking for it, but we're not really going to revisit that, even though we have the rights back at the moment. And then Raven and I also went on to develop our own system of Western inner mystery teachings called Ash, Birch, and Willow. And we offer courses of study in that, and it can, when approached in the, I guess, traditional mystery teaching way, can lead to an initiatory experience into the tradition itself. So we keep ourselves busy doing that, running the tradition, teaching several courses of study, Raven writes, and I whirl like a dervish, taking care of everything else. And... yeah, life is good.
Well, it sounds like it. You know, busy,
yeah,
like that is always good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, we always say there's no moss on Grimassi.
Yeah. I should write that down somewhere. completely derailed me. Good job. Thanks a lot. I was going to say, you know, we stay busy as well. And, you know, two shows a week and a little girl. And, you know, I work out of town a lot, a lot.
Right.
And, you know, we're in the process of, you know, consolidating our life to a point where I can be home most nights. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and between that and we've got, you know, a Pagan Pride this weekend. In a couple of weeks, we've got a work day at a property. A couple of weeks after that, I've got something. And then the weekend or two after that, we'll be seeing you at Florida Pagan Gathering. And I think sometime mid-February, I get a day to breed. Because if
yeah.
I'm not on the road.
We can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, most living in New England, because you live down there in sunny Florida, in New England, we usually take a self-imposed hiatus because of the weather, because we don't, you know, we don't like to travel when it's snowing. Certainly don't like to drive after my last experience doing that. And then I don't really like to fly because more often than not, you know, you get stuck in an airport because the weather's bad. So it's funny you should say that, because we're also looking to kind of reorganize and we want to start doing webinars so that we can reach more people than we do now. Just by virtue of going to festivals or to the local stores, we feel that there's really a need for that, as well as I think a built-in audience. So we have somebody who's going to be assisting us in getting that off the ground too, because it's hard traveling. You know, it's like you say, you and Robin travel all the time, and you guys aren't even together, and we get to travel together, and you know, it can become very wearing, and you always want to give your best whenever you're going to an event, and as you what we call advancing towards renewal, which is a very kind way of saying aging. you really don't want to be getting off on and off planes and crossing the country, you know, several times of the year. It just really starts to wear on your body.
Yeah, well, you're operating under one misconception. We live in Pennsylvania.
You live in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
I didn't know you lived in Pennsylvania.
Yes, ma'am. We're not that far from you guys, I don't think.
No, you're not
no.
at all.
Where
in Pennsylvania?
Do you know where Williamsport is?
No. I know where Philadelphia is and Pittsburgh is.
Okay. Well, if you go, do you know where the I-80 corridor is that runs from... like up near the George Washington, runs all the way across just north of Pittsburgh and then keeps going over toward Columbus, Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, about halfway across is I-180, a little spur that goes up to Williamsport where the Little League World Series is.
Uh-huh.
We're right
uh-huh.
there. We're right in that area, so...
I see. Is it rural where you live?
Yes. Yes, it is. We got
animals?
7 acres. We got seven
acres. Oh, wow.
Acres.
Yeah.
We had some chickens, and then we lost our dog, and then we lost the chickens. So,
I know how that works, because we did the same thing. We had property in California, and so we had a lot of large animals, and we also had chickens and turkeys, and we had geese at one time, and the thing was, is we were traveling a lot. So every time we left, we would come back and there would be fewer and fewer chickens until there were none. And it was really
yeah.
sad, but there was
well,
really...
Back in April, yeah. I
Go
understand.
Ahead,
back in April, we put our dog down. She
oh.
was, you know, 11 years old and got sick and, you know, and it was time to let her go, you know,
yeah.
and after that, there was no dog on the mountain, and so all the critters on the mountain, because we got about
oh, yeah.
6 acres of woods.
Yeah.
And all the critters came down, and one by one, the chickens went away. But I'll
yep.
tell you what, when we started buying eggs from the grocery store again,
mm-hmm.
the difference in the eggs
oh.
that you get from the grocery store and the eggs of chickens that are eating the bugs out of your yard.
Oh, yeah.
Completely different. The taste,
oh, absolutely. And even nutritionally, you know, they're
oh, yeah,
they're completely different.
The farm-raised eggs are higher in cholesterol, and they're not as nutritious, not as much protein. And
right.
You know, and they kept the ticks out of the yard. You know, the ticks and the spiders were, you know, chicken food and not in my house.
Right.
So, you know, we're working on a project that's going to give us an opportunity to have three dairy goats and another another brood of chickens.
Living in the country is such a great experience for a child too.
Oh, it is. Oh, and she was so mad when the ducks got killed, and we trapped a raccoon.
Oh, you did.
She was like, "Oh, well, that raccoon's so cute. Too bad it had to die."
Oh boy, because once they know, they won't stop coming back.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, once they know there's eggs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one.
Do you think the raccoon was coming for the eggs or the chickens or the geese or the?
Well, it got four ducks, four ducklings.
Oh wow! Really? There. Wow. That's kind of vicious.
Yeah, it is.
We've got a
little girl, blue-eyed, blonde-haired little girl that was, you know, she was prepared. She understands that, and that's one of the cool things up here is I talk all the time about how far removed we are from our food.
Mm.
You know, we don't understand the cycles. People don't understand the cycles of nature that people like you and me and Robin teach, because they don't understand what's going on in nature and why certain things at certain times of the year. And, you know, our little girls growing up with that understanding of the cycle of life, how, you know, all life grows out of death. You know, something's got to give its life to feed us. And she understands that, you know, food and meat was once alive. And when we say some sort of grace at meals, we honor the spirit of the animals and all of the people that work to get food to our table.
Oh, that is wonderful.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're going through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had animals, so it's very cool to talk to somebody that gets it. That has
I tell you, since we sold that property, we have not had an animal since, which has now been 11 years. Yeah, 11 years we haven't had any animals. It was liberating because it was such a huge responsibility to make sure that, you know, when we left, I mean, we had horses and goats and sheep and, I mean, it was just, you know, dogs and cats and whatever. Whatever came to us somehow, and it was a huge responsibility to leave for like a week or 2 weeks at a time and come back and hope that everything was okay. It's been liberating to just have us be the only thing we have to worry about.
Yeah, well, we were blessed to have one of our students as a farm girl also.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so when we go away, she was always available to take care of the animals.
Oh, that is a godsend to have somebody like that.
No doubt. So speaking of death, kind of brings us around to the book that came out in February about the ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Right, Communing with the Ancestors, yeah.
So would you please, sir, tell us, and ma'am, tell us a bit about the book.
Sure. It was. It's rather unique compared to what I've written before. This was really kind of came to me rather than from me. A lot of people who have read the book, they say it's a different voice, it's a different feel. So that's kind of intriguing to me that, you know, my readers are going, "Wow, this is really different from your other writings." It actually began with a fellow author, a friend of mine, Thorne Coyle, said to me one day, "You should write a book on the ancestors." And I was like, "I don't think there's a book's worth, you know, in me for the ancestors. I could write a lengthy essay or article, but I'm not sure there's really a book's worth, you know, lots already been written." But over the years, she kept sort of nudging me, and then I started going to my ancestors and asking them if they wanted this book written, and, you know, I was giving offerings. I wasn't really getting anything back. So I kind of just sort of thought, well, I guess I'm not going to do this. The ancestors don't really seem to be behind it. And then one day, shortly after we had seen Thorne again, she brought it up, and Stephanie and I were sitting in a IHOP having breakfast, and Stephanie goes, so what do you think? You're going to write this book? And I said, no, the ancestors aren't even giving me any signs or omens or anything, so no, I don't think I'm going to do it. So we left the restaurant, we got in our car, started to leave when a big semi rolled in, sort of crossed us like a T, and drove right past, and it was this huge semi, white truck, with one word and one word only, which took up the whole length of the side of the truck, and the word was ancestors. No markings on the truck, no phone number, no website, just this word, ancestors, in red on a white background.
Now, he's Italian, and he tends to embellish. However, I can sincerely tell you that that is really what happened. It freaked us out because we were just sitting in the car and that big semi just went by just like that. And we just said, there's your answer. That book's got to be written.
Yeah, so you wrote the damn book, right?
Yeah, I did.
Well, actually,
I tried to. That was what was unique.
Yeah.
Normally when I write a book, I come from a place of what I know, you know, on the topic, and I try to bring new perspectives, insights, or whatever, you know, to that book so that it's not just the same old, same old. But I write basically from what I already know. But when I started writing this book, I couldn't get anything moving. I couldn't get a chapter together, which has never happened to me. And so, long story short, I went to my ancestral shrine, and I said, you know, if you really want this book written, you know, you're going to have to help me. And what came back to me in the meditation was they said, then stop trying to write this book and just let the book be written. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got myself out of the way. And as I say in the preface to the book, I actually became a student to the manuscript as it was unfolding, because things were coming to me that I hadn't thought about before. Things were coming that changed the way that I believed in things from my past experiences. And to the point, at one point, you know, I mean, I was getting things I wasn't even sure I agreed with. And seriously, I was like, I'm not sure, you know. And so I went back to the ancestors and I said, are you asking me to abandon, you know, my previous positions and beliefs? And they said, you're not abandoning anything. You're just climbing up on our shoulders and getting a higher perspective. And I was like, wow, this is really becoming serious. So the book unfolded, and it turned into not only a book on the ancestors, but it also differentiated between what are the ancestors and what are the dead. And then it also brought in the role of reincarnation under the ancestral spirit, how the ancestral spirit sort of helps us choose our reincarnation bloodlines that we go into. So it became a very complex book, where I thought it was going to be basic sort of, you know, ancestral shrines and offerings and, you know, that type of thing. But it went way, way beyond that into some pretty esoteric stuff. So it's kind of unique, and you know, I think it will surprise people. It has what one would expect with that title, but it also has much more that I don't think people would ever stop to think would be associated with that topic. I certainly found that to be the case. I was very surprised, and I just became kind of a vessel for this book to come through. It was a very unique experience.
Oh, excellent. Well, it sounded, I read the intro online.
Oh.
And so I was going to ask you about the story with the tractor trailer, and you saved me having to ask.
Well, so, yeah, there were several weird things. Like one thing that happened to me when I was feeling blocked is I got up to go take, I thought, well, maybe I'll just take a walk around the block and clear my head. And I saw a book with a bookmarker in my library, and I don't normally leave books like that, so I walked over to see what it was. I cracked open the book, and the marker was a handwritten sort of brief note from my godmother who had crossed. And I don't even remember ever using that as a bookmarker. So I was kind of touched. I sort of, you know, saw her handwriting. I thought, oh, you know, Teresa, wow, I haven't thought of her in a while, you know. Got a little emotional. And then I looked down at the book to see what chapter I had marked, and it was a chapter on how we can interfere with divine communication. So I ended up reading that chapter, and the chapter gave me some ideas of how to get out of the way so that this book could be written. So there were a lot of synchronistic events around this book.
Yeah, I call that the cosmic Gibbs slap, or the clue by four between the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool. And cool and humbling at the same time.
Yeah, I periodically get numbers that keep showing up.
Mm.
And those are kind of the messages that I get sometimes, is this number just keeps repeating itself, showing up. And then I go, okay, so, you know, do a little research on the numerological aspects of that number, and there's usually the message waiting for me. So
yeah, spirit works in a lot of interesting ways.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'll dream about animated tarot cards.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, so I find in the dream I'm in the tarot card interacting with the.
Oh wow.
So. Those are always spirit messages.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time I have that dream, that's spirit. And I'm looking forward to getting a copy of the book. Are you going to have some with you at FPG?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will.
Excellent. All right, well, set one of those aside for me and Robin, please.
Okay,
and
absolutely.
We'll pick that up in about a month.
Okay.
I held off on buying the book because I knew I was going to see you guys.
Had we had the forethought, though, Terry, we would have had one sent to you, because that's what our publicist does at the publisher. They'll send out copies. I can still have that done for you too.
Oh well, that would be very cool.
It would. Just message me your address.
I will do that. I will do
okay.
that after the show. Like I said, I held off on buying the book because I wanted to specifically, you know, see you guys and get it from you. So I'll just bring the copy, the publication copy, and I'll bring it with me to get signed. So,
because okay.
I'm a fan. I do these shows, and we teach and we do all of our own stuff, but I'm still fans of a lot of the people that are out there doing this stuff. And I, you know, try not to gush too much. But I do love the stuff that you've written.
Oh yeah. I think he really writes things that are, Raven's style of writing makes a lot of, the esoteric and the inner mystery teachings. The inner mystery teachings really reveal things to people that give them those aha moments of self-realization, which can lead to self-actualization. And that's really what I found when I was reading the book, and other books that he's written as well, because we get to, when we're editing, I read the book out loud to him, and we edit the book that way, so I get a firsthand, as I'm reading, I'm saying, well, what does this mean, or can you explain that a little bit more? So I really get a lot more out of it than most people do, which is awesome.
At the same time, I would guess that gives him a chance to maybe go back and rewrite that section to explain it more fully. And
Mm-hmm.
That does happen.
You're being our voice.
Basically,
you're talking about, and then. So you're making it easier for us to digest by asking your questions. So that's very cool, and thank you.
Right. Of course, there's always that awkward moment when she says, so what does this mean? And I go, I haven't a clue.
Terry's laugh.
was hoping you would tell me.
So, Raven, what do you mean by that? I go, I don't know.
All right. Well, on that, I think we are about ready for a break. Now, I've only got two songs by Kellyanna that she has given us permission to play. And,
okay.
Has sent to us. That is Warrior Queen and Black is the Color. My lady, do you have a choice? A preference?
I do. Since tonight is the black moon, I think that black, the one that's black is the color, is a good one.
Sounds like a winner. All right.
Yeah, that's
so, great. Here is Kellyanna, and she's joined by Jenna Green for this song. And this is Black is the Color. Everybody stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
True love.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you for Virginia.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power. And you are under a shady tree, well, with Terry tonight and the Grimassies. Raven and Stephanie are joining us under the shady tree. Robin is working on getting back to the house and in the show. Not sure if that's going to be able to happen. There have been some delays. So, but anyway, we're having a great time tonight. And Raven and Stephanie, I want to thank you again for being with us.
Our pleasure.
Before the break, Raven, you were talking about the book, and you mentioned something about ancestors and spirits of those who have already passed, as
right.
if they are separate. There's a difference.
Right.
Could you share
yes,
a little bit?
Yes, that was one of the things that was passed to me in the writing of the book, which I had previously not really given any really deep thought to. I just sort of, accepted the idea that, there's those who came before us. And but the ancestors were telling me that there's a distinction between the dead and the ancestors, which I thought was fascinating. They said that the dead are people that the living still remember having personally known them. In other words, if your grandmother died, you knew her personally. She's in the realm of the dead, and that the dead are connected to the living through that memory, through that life force energy of love and memory and, all that, kinds of things that people hold, pictures of their family members who have crossed, maybe on the fireplace or, whatever. There's always this link, I'll call it a living link, between the dead and the current living generation. But the ancestors said that the dead remain the dead until there is no one alive who actually knew that person personally. So, for example, my great-great-great-grandfather, there isn't anyone alive who ever knew him. And so he is now an ancestor. He slipped from being in the realm of the dead to the realm of the ancestors when the last person who ever knew him crossed as well. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that would actually make sense, because you have this interaction with the dead. People often say, I feel my grandfather around me or whatever, But rarely do I ever hear somebody say, yeah, I feel my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother around me.
Right.
That just doesn't seem to be what people focus on. They seem to focus on people they knew who had died. And so that made real sense to me, that the dead are in a realm where people actively remember them who are alive still. But the ancestors are in a realm where no one knew them and no one's really thinking about them anymore. Now, someone may argue that, some famous person, if you're descended from Abraham Lincoln, for example, that there would be that memory. But that's not true, because you didn't really know him. you know, there's an entry in an encyclopedia, but you didn't know him. So that
right.
living link is not there. So I just thought that that was really kind of profound.
Yeah, well, when you, you know, I was waiting to ask a follow-up question, and then you answered it for me. Because
oh.
I was thinking about this day and age where we have so much genealogical research available to us and pictures of, you know, multiple generations back. But you
right.
specifically said someone who knew that person in life.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, like I have a photo of my great-great-grandfather. Great-great-grandfather. But I never knew him. And there are family stories about him, but I have no connection to him as far as the
person.
Heartfelt connection to him as a being, but I acknowledge him now as one of my ancestors. So he's on, you know, he's in, on my ancestral shrine. But he's speaking to me from the blood memory rather than from my memory of him.
And how does our interaction with them differ?
Well, with the dead, you get same time, place, event communication. Like my mother's crossed and I feel her talking to me. I feel her guiding me. She pops up in my dreams. There's a very active communication that is very similar to when, you know, she was alive. I mean, you know, but the ancestors who I never knew, they speak to me on what I call through the blood. They're actually in the DNA. They're in the cellular memory of my body, and they speak to me in a different vibration, I guess I would say. But often I have to initiate the conversation, not always, but frequently. Whereas the dead seem to come to me, you know, on their own. My dead ancestors, dead friends of mine, they'll pop up at a time or I'll feel them in some way, which is a different kind of vibration. So I think that that's the difference. The ancestors are talking through DNA cellular memory in the blood to us holistically through our bodies, mind, body, spirit. Whereas the dead are talking to us like they did in life. You know, they're communicating to us through touch, sound, dreams. It's a different kind of communication.
Okay. And how does that differ from what I've heard referred to as like a cultural memory? Is that the same?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. Can you define that at all? Or?
Well, you know, it's kind of this collective unconscious where we have like all people from that have their like strong Celtic blood seem to have very similar kind of feelings and thoughts and not quite memories that you can touch and remember like I remember breakfast, but
right.
or something that happened in my childhood, but something's there that connects
yeah.
us, even if we grew up in different parts of the country or different parts of the world.
Right. Yeah, I would call that the cellular memory. You know, we have more connection, like, okay, we have our ancestors who communicate to us through the bloodline. And let's take the Celtic example. You know, someone may be from a particular Celtic tribal lineage. And so they're getting a lot of cellular memory from the DNA that is part of their bloodline, but they're also getting the memory of the ancestors who knew other Celts and had other experiences with other tribes. So you're getting a more holistic cultural flow of information. One of the things the ancestors said to me is, that we humans often mistake past life recollection for genetic memory of our lineage, that the memories we have of being such and such really wasn't us. We're remembering one of our ancestors in that bloodline. So they said it's very tricky and to be very careful when you're doing past life recollection because there's a difference of the memory that's coming. They seem the same. But one may be you in a past life, but it may also well be one of your ancestors, and you're remembering their past life, not yours. But you're
through
mistaking
that cellular
it.
Cellular memory.
Cellular memory. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that makes sense. I mean, I've never done a lot with past life regression and stuff like that because I feel like I've got enough to work on in this incarnation.
I hear you.
So I'm going to work on this incarnation. But
yeah,
Robin,
I think that's what we're supposed to be doing.
I totally agree with you.
Oh, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, I said I totally agree with you as far as that goes. You know, people, I think that if there's people who want to do them, they feel there's value in that kind of regression, the past life regression, it's go for it. But I, in my opinion, I think that being in this life, in this persona, in this body, in this time, that's where the work needs to be done. I really feel strongly about that, you know, rather than being distracted by trying to, a lot of people feel that finding out about past lives regression, I think that they can clear karma or redeem something about that life too, which I guess, I mean, that is, redeeming is noble. In fact, in Raven's book, there's a, isn't there a redemption working in there
mm-hmm.
for the,
yeah.
Robin, are you there? I heard you giggle.
Yeah, I finally got home and joined everybody. Thanks for
being
Hi,
my
patient.
Dear. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. And just to jump in on the conversation, wouldn't you think that if you work on this life, you know, and worry about what's going on in your life and this incarnation, that probably you're going to wind up writing whatever happened in the last life anyway?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, especially when you're walking a spiritual path, you know, and you're...
Mm-hmm.
Are mindful and conscious about, you know, what you're doing, what you're, you know, what is it, a word, action, and deed,
mm-hmm.
That all of those things fall into line where you're endeavoring to reach a higher vibration or a higher, you know, a higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just takes that, you know, and the things that we do.
I think there is a built-in redemption to that very act.
How so, Terry? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, just the act of making ourselves better is...
Yes. Yes, yes. You're
it
right.
Is
yeah,
it,
there is a resonance, you know, that goes backwards and forwards. But there's also what we call the redemption of the ancestors, which is a conscious act. The idea being that our ancestors, some of them maybe weren't the most pleasant people, and they have some... I'll use the word karmic or energetic block that's holding them in some space, you know. And we can, as the living stewards of our bloodline, if you think about it, that's almost a noble sort of office, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can turn around and say, as the living representative of my bloodline, I release and liberate this ancestor from misdeeds. And I think that ripples back in the river of blood, and I think we can help them release themselves from whatever energy is binding them. In doing so, we are liberated also because we've been contaminated in that stream.
Mm-hmm.
So you do this deed which liberates you and the ancestors, and it removes the log jam, if you will, in the living river of blood, and allows us to flow better to the next generation.
All right. And that's
totally
in, awesome. And that's in this book.
Yes.
It is talked about in the book, yes.
Outstanding. I'm looking.
They have a ritual for that. I have a ritual also that's called soul mending, which I really think is important.
Yeah.
Because the soul mending ritual is not for the dead. It's actually for the living. It's for people that you're estranged from to do a soul mending, to heal that. Even if you don't want to ever see that person again, you're still energetically connected to them by the estrangement, or what the Hawaiian medicine people call the aka cord.
Mm-hmm.
So I devised a ritual in which you can sever that disruption, because the idea is the two humans aren't going to do it. You know, they're locked up in the "you did this to me" and, you know, yada yada stuff they're never going to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
So you bypass that by going soul to soul and saying, hey, the souls say to each other, hey, you know, these personas, you know, Jim and Mary aren't ever going to get along or heal this, so why don't you and I, soul to soul, release this negativity and liberate them from that energy. So there's a ritual for the living to heal any estrangement you have.
Oh, that kind of sounds like what I call cutting the cord.
Yeah, well, it's cutting the aqua cord, as the Hawaiian medicine people would say. There's a cord of energy between us, whether if we love somebody, hate somebody, don't ever want to see someone again, whatever the case may be, there's a cord that feeds that. And we may think we're free of it, you know, but according to the Hawaiian medicine people, you're not free of it until you formally sever it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a conversation Robin and I were having the other day. Interesting.
Well, I think in contrast, that when you talk about the idea of severing a cord, or severing this aqua cord, or and doing the soul mending, is that I think one is on a higher plane. And I think, for instance, when I think of severing a cord, it would be with an initiate, where, you know, if they left the tradition, that we would sever that tie to them. Of course, you're right. You do it on a physical level and a spiritual level. But I think that soul mending ritual that Raven wrote is really potent in that it reaches beyond this physical realm, where you are having this covenant or agreement between the two souls in order to release the living personas from having to continue to have, you know, negative energy attached to each other in any kind of way, right?
Yep.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, very cool. Again, I look forward to seeing this more and more. Now, you've mentioned bloodlines several times, and I actually wrote
mm-hmm.
that down because I wanted to come back to it. And
mm-hmm.
I did want to make one comment, you know, about the cultural memory kind of thing, because Robin and I grew up in very different parts of the country with very different
mm-hmm.
upbringings. But when we came together, our ideas about how to raise children, how to live, so much of it was so parallel. And we came from
mm-hmm.
very different, you know, backgrounds in the U.S., but we have that common Celtic heritage,
mm-hmm.
which seems to come through in so many ways when we interact with each other and the world.
Right.
And
well, you know, there's a, you know, I'm a firm believer in that souls travel in tribes or clans, and they come back. So many of us have known each other in soul memories, which is different than blood memories. And so it may well be that the two of you came back together due to what I would call a soul connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not diminishing the bloodline connection, but I think there may be an element of soul connection in it as well. And when people are really, really, really click, it can be a soul connection, or, you know, and or a bloodline, but more often than not, the strongest tends to be more of a soul binding because of a kindredness.
Okay. Yeah, I talk about, I use the term soul clusters. And so I think that's a similar concept.
Hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
little tribes of, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
yeah.
good.
Sounds
okay.
like a midnight snack, soul clusters.
Well, as long as you're not trying to tell people you're out eating soul, then they'll, you know, they'll tell them,
what? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't do that anymore.
Anymore.
Very fun.
Well, guys, I have so much enjoyed this. Robin, did you have anything else that you wanted to ask them while, you know, now that you're here and have a chance to jump in?
Nope.
That's it, short and sweet.
Well,
yeah,
yep.
Perfect.
Save any of those questions that pop up for when we see you at FPG. Silent
absolutely.
FPG.
Yeah. That's right. Just don't call us at 3 o'clock in the morning when you remember what you wanted to say.
Oh, I promise.
We'll not do that. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll be snoring. So,
yeah.
Last thing is, I guess, tell people how to get in touch with you guys. You know, whatever your public,
well,
you know.
We have a umbrella website, which I'm going to, I keep saying I'm going to, but time just slips away. It is an umbrella website, houseofgrimasi.com. That has our appearances on it, which we're looking to book for 2017. We're almost coming to the end of 2016. Those appearances are up there too. But it also has a link to our internet store, which is Raven's Loft. And that's ravensloft.biz, and it'll take you right over there, and you can browse around. We have some unique things that Raven and I make ourselves, as well as things that are crafted just for us to support kind of our enchanted world view of things that we feel are kind of substantial and important and would enhance and, you know, enliven your spiritual and magical practice. We kind of look for things that are unique. If we don't make them ourselves. So, and of course, all of his books are there as well. And, and you can find us both on Facebook. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to talk about it and be on the show, too. And as I said in the beginning, we also host several courses of study. One of them is closed during the year, but there's several others that are open all year round that people can join. And they're, from the enchanted world view, which I like to say is old world witchcraft, the pre-Christian European kind of ancient rooted ideas of our ancestors are really the formula that we work from.
Okay. And tell me the umbrella website. I didn't catch the beginning of that.
It is houseofgrimasi.com.
Okay. Now I got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really have enjoyed our chat tonight. Of course, it's always fun talking to people that, you know, that get it about raising animals. And
oh, yeah. And I love animals. It's been very hard to not have any for this long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some people are like, you know, the crazy cat lady. Well, I'm married to the crazy chicken lady, so it's kind of fun.
Do you have all different kinds of breeds, Robin?
Well, we had a catastrophe this past year where we had a fisher. You know what a fisher is?
Oh, my gosh, I sure do. We have them here.
Fisher cat.
Yeah, fisher cat.
And they completely decimated our 8 chickens and 4 ducks.
Oh, my gosh, those things
in
are
one
vicious.
Night. Yes.
Oh, I believe
one
it.
Night. And it was so wasteful because he took a bite of one, went to the next one, took a bite of one, and just killed them all, but only like taking one bite of each of the animals. If he had taken one of the animals and taken it away, I would have been okay. I can deal with that, you know. But and it just kind of so we haven't done it, and this was preceded by our dog passing away. So
yeah,
I just
Terry was telling us. Yeah, mm-hmm. You didn't have your chicken watcher on up there. That's
exactly.
Too bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, these things happen. So I'm waiting until we can get a dog before I can get more chickens. And it's very hard.
If we were traveling so much, I'd have a dog in a heartbeat, but that's not happening right now.
Yeah, it's almost impossible if you're not home.
Yeah, that's
now,
why
folks
we're waiting
that are out
until after. That's why we're waiting
I just
want
to say this. Folks that are out there, we are sitting under a shady tree, and these are the kinds of topics we can talk about under the shady tree, as well as
right.
Witchcraft and magic.
Yeah.
Our animals and ducks and chickens. And
Yeah,
come see us all at FPG, and we can join the conversation there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you so much, Raven.
Thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, thank you
we
for
really
the opportunity
it.
To be on the show. We really appreciate it.
I've had
Can't
a great
wait,
time.
Guys.
So at this point in the show, you guys are welcome to stick around, but it's time that I'm going to ask Robin to tell everybody how to get in touch with us.
Ooh.
Well, you can reach Terry or myself via email at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Facebook. My Facebook page is Robin A. McKean, and Terry is Rev Terry Power, HP. We also have a email address specifically for the radio station, and please know that when you email us, we get a lot of email. Please put something other than "Hi, Terry," or "Hi, Robin," in the subject. Let us know your, you know, question about the show, question about spell crap, whatever it is, put it in the subject, please, so that we can delineate it from all the junk spam email that we get. So the other email address that you can write to us at in reference to the radio station is the one that I can never remember, so I'm going to let Terry tell it to you because I have some kind of weird mental block about this one.
Okay, that address is surn.org@gmail.com.
Yeah, like I said, it's backwards. So, yeah, that's how you can get a hold of us.
So, a couple of programming notes. Let's see, this weekend, coming up in just a couple of days, we will be at the South Jersey Pagan Pride Day in, the address for your GPS is actually 5300 North Park Drive in Merchantville, New Jersey. So come out and see us. We're going to be actually talking about raising animals and growing your own food and that sort of thing on Saturday. And we're going to have some time set aside where you can chit-chat with us. So look for our booth. And let's see, coming up on the 3rd, on Monday the 3rd, Voice of Olympus, we'll be talking about Worlds Beyond Our Own. On Tuesday the 4th, Robin and I will be talking ritual etiquette. And a week from tonight is our open topic night. So you never know what you're going to get. And also you want to keep up, our full moon ritual is coming up on the 18th of October, right here on Tuesday nights. And then, a couple of notable, on the 27th of October, we're going to be joined by Utu Witch Doctor, and we're going to be talking voodoo and Samhain and all things kind of spooky. It should be a great deal of fun. On November 1st is going to be our Samhain ritual on a Tuesday night. And then on the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, as we've mentioned throughout the show, we will be at the Florida Pagan Gathering Samhain event in Central Florida. So check that out. Robin,
Raven
is there anything
and
else? Yeah, and thanks
is
to
there
Raven
anything else? Oh, just to remind them that...
Go ahead.
Oh, that was it. Then so I'm fine. I'm good.
Raven and Stephanie dropped out. So I do want to thank them for being with us tonight. This has been a great deal of fun. And I look forward to seeing them at FPG and joining and revisiting our conversation about animals and growing stuff. So, was there anything else you wanted to share, love?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, with that, then, I guess it is time to thank all of our listeners and to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.